Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Brian was just making fun of me for tweeting out. I don't know if you were making fun of me, but you were laughing at the tweet that I sent out maybe last night, maybe this morning. It says, I don't think people like Kamala Harris. Is that pretty much what I said?
Quote, I don't think people like Kamala Harris.
Yeah, that's it.
Unquote.
I hate. I like want to block people when they say, that's it, that's the tweet. But that's it, that's the tweet.
I mean, it stands out. That's why I said it, is because I'm scrolling through Twitter looking at latest news, and there's just that one line from you sitting in there with a lot of people who've commented.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
She's just like...
I do.
There's still people who are going to vote for her. It's not mm-hmm. like... Listen. There are people who don't like Donald Trump either. I know.
I'm going to tweet that.
I don't think people like Donald Trump.
There are some people who might not.
Again, I remind you, if you're ever in an uncomfortable situation, but you're trying to make friends, you go into that situation, you go, Donald Trump, am I right? And then you just go with whatever.
You could do that with Kamala Harris at this point, though. She's almost the inverse opposite because she's very unlikable.
I know, but I think the people who support her are angry that they have to.
I agree.
Her angry, uncomfortable laugh that she does to just fill time when she's trying not to have to answer questions in workable ways.
You know how I know people don't like her, too? It's not just a feeling. It's not just a gut. It's more than a feeling. It's Chicago. No.
Is that it?
No. That's not it. That's not the tweet. No, it's because there's just too many jokes on jokes, and I'm like, I'm gonna take the bait on all of them. It's because it's 28 days now, I think, maybe 29, without her doing any press. She's just reading from a teleprompter. People are just starting in the mainstream media to ask her to do interviews, and she's done no press conferences. She's not likable. That's evidence.
There is a little bit more of a sentiment since last weekend from people who are like, you're going to answer to this. She comes out with her economic plan and she is not really being lauded for her economic plan per se. So they kind of have questions about it. Whenever she goes out in front of people and she ends up having these kinds of discussions, they end up sounding a little something like this.
And that's what our election is about. Our election is about understanding the importance of this beautiful country of ours in terms of what we stand for around the globe as a democracy.
Woo!
As a democracy.
Woo, girl.
We know there's a duality to the nature of democracy. On the one hand, incredible strength when it is intact. What it does for its people to protect and defend their rights, their liberty, and their freedom. Incredibly strong and incredibly fragile.
If you haven't had the opportunity to watch, look at how confident she is there at the end of saying the thing that she just said. If you watch any of these videos where she's speaking or she's, you know, clearly like this is her moment. She's in a public space. She's out there for the purpose of being seen. Mr. Harris is always standing over her shoulder, just like emphatically nodding, just like you do to your child when they're singing at the recital. And you're like, God love them. You know, oh, bless their heart.
And you got the part. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
And then you're just nodding emphatically so that you're like trying to get their attention so they just see you and not everybody else going like this. What? Huh? And then you hope that it's over and it's done. And then they feel good about themselves and supported, that they feel loved and supported.
When she said strength, I literally got goosebumps.
Ew.
Because it's like that feeling whenever you see a lion just out in nature and the raw power of it. When she said strength, I got that same sense. It's a little bit of sarcasm for your mother.
What did she just say? Counterpoint. Argue with that.
Democracy is a... Oh, so I'm supposed to argue against what she said. Okay.
You can argue for it, too. I don't care.
I'm trying to summarize what she said so I know how to respond. I think she said that democracy is both amazing, strong, and fragile, to summarize. Counterpoint.
I think that she was told that day she needed to work the word duality in.
And then when she got it, her husband was like, yes, yes, yes,
you did it. High five.
So counterpoint to democracy is amazing. It is strong and it is fragile. You're a communist. You don't believe in these things.
I don't think it could be understated that her economic policies are going to be very problematic for...
Here in Jersey, Atlantic City. Who do you support?
Calm down.
Trump for the win.
We're going to get to that in a little bit here. The economic policies that she put out, there are a lot of people who are going, what are you talking about? What are you doing here? This is not really what I think even Democrats want to end up hearing from their candidate. This is Shermichael Singleton on CNN.
I think you will also see Republicans say that, to Estead's point, this is a continuation of Joe Biden's failed policies, which are not very popular on two significant fronts, immigration and the economic front. The vice president gave a speech, which a lot of Democrats and progressives lauded as a great speech in terms of her plans on the economy. But our very own reporting showed that it would increase spending by $1.7 trillion over 8 to 10 years. How can the American people pay for that? The Washington Post editorial board called it gimmicks. And so I think Republicans still have an opportunity to continue to contrast, although it's going to be more difficult. But on the issues of policies, I think the Republican Party and conservatives, generally speaking, still have the advantage. And the polling suggests that we still have the advantage. Despite 28 weeks of incredible coverage of the vice president, this race, statistically speaking, is still tied.
It's a really great point by the CNN Republican strategist analyst talking about the very favorable coverage that Kamala has gotten. She comes out with her economic plan. People are calling it communism on X. And we want to ask a real financial expert what he thinks about it. So we always go to Steve Moore, distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation, Trump economic advisor. Commonomics, Steve, what do we got?
Hey, good to be with you, Annie. And but look, this was a policy that came out on Friday that I was kind of shocked because it's very... she gets an F in economics, let's put it like that. I mean, it's a really, we tried these policies back in the 1970s. I know that was long before you were born.
I've heard of them.
But not me. But you know, we tried price controls when we had. I think some of your listeners are probably old enough to remember. You know, when Jimmy Carter and you know, Richard Nixon were president, and every time we imposed price controls, it just caused shortages. So the perfect example of this, and this is Economics 100, that in New York, and I don't know if you have price controls on rent control in St. Louis, but a lot of the major cities put in rent controls. And what happened was that the yeah, they had the rent controls, and then sure enough, the people would, some people would get, you know, a $200 you know, apartment, and then all of a sudden nobody built any more any more apartments or anything, and so it just became a total fiasco. And it turned out people were, you know, you had more homelessness because they put in place this really stupid policy. So I think the price controls are a bad idea. Where are we going to, I heard someone right before I came on say, where are we going to get the money to pay for these crazy expenses, you know, these crazy programs? She also wants to give $20,000, $25,000 to a new home buyer. $25,000?
Right.
What are we going to, are we going to buy people their house for them with taxpayer money? I mean, it's just so absurd. And so I'm shocked that so many, that anybody would actually endorse these policies because they've been such failures. And, you know, if you want to control inflation, get government spending under control.
You know, we're speaking with Steve Moore right now. When I heard about the 25,000 for homes, it just immediately made me think about how there is guaranteed money from the federal government for student loans, that where the college, the university system, they always get paid. They're the ones who get paid. Everybody else is on the hook. And then the cost of education goes up and up and up and up because the money is always guaranteed there. If we're guaranteeing $25,000 for first-time home buyers, aren't the prices of those homes just going to go up $25,000?
Yeah, you get an A in economics yourself today. I mean, that's exactly right. That it's going to be all capitalized into the price of a home. And so you're going to have higher home costs. And look, the best way to lower lower costs of buying a new home is to lower interest rates, right? The mortgage rates are, remember when Trump left office, the mortgage rate was 3%. Now it's some, I don't know what you play in St. Louis, but 6.5% to 7%.
It's insane, so over double.
The mortgage rates have more than doubled. And that means your mortgage payment over at a 30-year mortgage has almost doubled. And so why don't we do something about controlling government spending? You know, something neither party really wants to do, but get control of all this debt and the spending, and that would free up resources so people could buy a home.
You know, when we listen to Kamala Harris's economic plan, and she talks about, you know, price controls this and controls there and money and checks being handed out, it really starts to feel like the federal government owns everything and then that we are permitted to participate when they choose to let us. Am I seeing that incorrectly?
You know, that's a really interesting point you're making. I finished this morning writing my weekly column, and that I write for the papers, and it was about how Kamala is and Tim Walz are trying to define themselves as the freedom candidates, that they're for freedom because they're for, a freedom to have an abortion. They're for freedom to be safe from gun violence. They're for freedom make a living and that kind of thing. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, freedom by definition is not big government. It's the opposite of big government. Your freedoms are taken away by government. They're not assigned. As our founding father said, just a little, you know, civics lesson for your listeners. It's, you know, the whole idea of government is to protect, people's life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It's not to hand out money. And so they've redefined freedom as entitlement. In other words, you're entitled to my money. Well, that might increase your freedom, but it reduces my freedom.
Yep. And somebody has to be the arbiter of that. And of course, the federal government, or any kind of government really, is always looking forward to stepping in to be that person. Before we let you go, Steve, I know that you have a connection to Chicago. I let myself live across the river in Illinois. I've lived under those oppressive policies in the state of Illinois. The DNC says, let's put it all in Chicago. What do you make of that decision?
Well, you know, here's an amazing statistic that, and if people want to get our hotline, please sign up for it. It's free. Just go to unleashprosperity.com. And our lead piece today was about what's happened to Chicago, and it's heartbreaking to me. I mean, as I've told you, I practically grew up in Wrigley Field and love the city of Chicago, but it's, if you compare the U.S. Census Bureau numbers from 1920 to 2020, the city of Chicago has fewer residents today than it did 100 years ago. That's pretty amazing.
Why is that happening?
It's wild. And why has that happened? Because A, the schools stink. B, the taxes are too high. C, the crime is too high. D, there's too many, homeless people and so on. I mean, it's just the city is being ruined by progressive left-wing policies. And, you know, as you probably, many of your listeners know, the city of Chicago and the residents and their infinite wisdom basically elected a Marxist as their mayor.
Yeah.
And that's not making things better. It's being worse. And you see people like Ken Griffin and the billionaires are moving out. And, and by the way, who are the victims of not fighting crime? Who are the victims of the bad schools? It's the very minorities that they say they stand for.
You know, if I could ask you one last question before we let you go, Steve, if you were in Governor J.B. Pritzker's shoes and you had the ability to work on the economic situation facing Illinois, is there an obvious place that you would start? Is it fixable? Is it beyond repair?
Yeah, that's a layup for me. I mean, Illinois should eliminate its state income tax. You know, we have 9 states that have no income. And by the way, Missouri should do the same thing. Get rid of your income tax. Income taxes are poison. And they, there are 9 states, including Florida, Texas, Tennessee, South Dakota, Nevada, that have no income tax. And guess what? Those are the states that are growing the fastest. Do you think that's just a coincidence?
No, I love it. I vote for you for governor. There we have it.
All right.
Steve, thank you so much.
Take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Can you imagine? Can you imagine running for governor and being like, I propose that we have no income tax, that the Democrats and the supermajority in Springfield would be apoplectic? Sounds like a good plan. Let's go for that. Let's make that happen. I need a governor candidate who will make that happen. Steve Moore with us. Always great to speak with him. He is a Trump economic advisor, one of the top ones, did so in 2016, is currently doing so during this campaign. You can find him in his book, Govzilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Devouring Our Economy and Our Freedom. Great to have him on here with us. And a good segue into our next conversation. Bryce Hill is going to join us. He's been with us many times before. He's a senior research analyst at the Illinois Policy Institute. We're going to get a little bit more honed in on Chicago, the city that the Democrats choose to make their home in for a week to make their case to the American people. If you want to know what Democrat policies look like in action, you peek over into Chicago, Illinois and say, I'd like some more, or hard pass. Let us know what you think on the YouTube live chat poll today about when you'll be voting. Illinois has one of those long voting periods. I think it's 40 days from Election Day. When will you vote? Are you going to vote early? Are you going to vote on Election Day? Or you're not voting at all, which would be a very ironic vote to cast in this poll. Let us know what you think. Annie Fry YouTube channel, Bryce Hill, when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you can do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And we expect to hear from you.
Tuesday night, prime time, I get an opportunity to tell people about Illinois and more importantly about the ticket and why we're all so excited about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
So then we watch, I don't know if these two, Jen Psaki and J.B. Pritzker, take a shot of something and then they high five and it's so awkward. And then Jen Psaki told us that that drink does not taste well. That was from J.B. Pritzker, who is welcoming all of us through our television screens to the DNC, to Chicago. And, you know, we talk about Illinois quite a bit on this show, of course, myself being a resident, Brad and Ryan as well. And we thought, let's get to the real story of what's going on in Chicago. And let's understand why we see the rouge that is going to be put on the city. It's a beautiful city. It should be the best city in the country. Let's talk about what actually is the experience of the people who are living there right now. So we bring on to the show Bryce Hill. He's a senior research analyst at Illinois Policy Institute. You can go to illinoispolicy.org, a wonderful resource for information for things that are taking place in the state of Illinois. Bryce, welcome back. It's good to have you here.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
You know, I want to give you the opportunity to kind of have the floor here and talk about what kind of economy right now Chicago is dealing with. Is how do people who work there feel about walking to work, you know, in the daytime? Tell us about Chicago.
Sure. So I think that first you got to say it's no guarantee that somebody's going to be walking to work. We have the highest unemployment rate in the nation of any large city. So that's going to be front and center. Hundreds of thousands of people, almost 100,000 people out of work, more people out of work than when Mayor Brandon Johnson took office. He ran on becoming the working man's mayor, making Chicago the most pro-worker city in the nation. Unfortunately, fewer people are working now than in the past year. So that's number one. Number two is you might notice fewer and fewer people. The city is at its lowest level of population in the past 100 years. We've seen 9 consecutive years of population decline. The population shrunk by almost 130,000 over the past 9 years. So there's fewer people. There's lots of unemployment. And just generally, residents don't feel that safe. Crime has spiked in recent months, especially some sorts of crimes like carjackings. People are on edge. It's not necessarily a super friendly Chicago, whether it comes for workers or the safety of families. And that's going to be on full display here in the next week or so.
I mean, whenever it comes to election time and we're talking about statewide races, which Illinois is not dealing with this cycle, we do that ours in the midterm races. People I'm downstate, obviously, in like southwestern Illinois. People downstate is very subjective based on where you live. If you're not in Cook County, basically. But people get real grumbly about Chicago and, you know, everything that the whole state does goes by the way of what Chicago wants to do. But I'm quick to remind those people 63% or something of Illinois' population does live in Chicago, and it is consequential, and it should be a great city. I mean, I want, as a downstater, for Illinois to have a Chicago that we can boast about and brag about and be proud about. And it just seems as though the policies are keeping it back and keeping it down so incredibly much. Are there policies that could be implemented that could make Chicago take a dramatic turn and start to attract people into the city?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that Chicago's problems are very emblematic of, you know, what happens throughout the rest of the state. You know, so you see, you have a large population center in Chicago, and that kind of bleeds out throughout the rest of the state. So really amplified in Chicago, and that is, you know, a problem with crime and how we deal with crime and how we treat police officers. There's a lot of police vacancies. That was a very big decisive point of contention between Paul Vallis and Brandon Johnson during the mayoral election last year. So that's number one. Number two is the high tax environment. We have the second highest property taxes in the nation as a state in Illinois, and those property taxes are often highest in Chicago and in the communities immediately surrounding Chicago. And that's emblematic of a very expensive bureaucratic government system with a large state government and also 7,000 overlapping layers of local governments. A lot of that is driven by the state's state and local pension crisis, which are driving up property tax bills, crowding out funding at the state level for departments and being sent to schools and things like that. So all of these things are luckily policy choices that we've made. So unfortunately, they're self-inflicted, but the good news is that those things can be changed. Yeah. When you look at where people are moving, they're not moving, you know, cross country for the weather. We lose more residents to our neighboring states than anywhere else. So people aren't moving, you know, to go to Florida or California or Texas just for the weather. People want to be in the Midwest where their homes are, where they made their lives and where their families are. We just make that impossible for them to choose to stay in Illinois. So the good news is that that can be reversed if we start making incremental steps to walk back our property tax burden, make it an affordable place for families to choose to live and for businesses what they do best, which is hire people and give people opportunities. So there are some very immediate steps to be taken if we can you know, muster up political gumption to move in that direction.
We're speaking with Bryce Hill. He's a senior research analyst at the Illinois Policy Institute, online at illinoispolicy.org. You know, Bryce, I don't know what kind of polling Illinois Policy does or what kind of research you have on this, but you can say these things to me and they're like obvious solutions to the problem. Like, we're headed in this direction and it's going very poorly. Why don't we shift directions and do, you know, policy B and see how that works? But I'm reminded that oftentimes the people who are elected to these positions are not really honestly trying to solve the same problems that we are. They are in, they don't mind a little collateral damage in an area that we might think is a priority because they have other priorities of their own. Are any of the things that you're talking about right now popular enough issues that you think that the people of Illinois and the people of Chicago alike could hitch their wagon to and maybe get one of these things through to their elected officials or to new candidates who might run for these positions to make a real difference in the lived experience in Illinois?
Absolutely. I think there are a lot of bright spots here, especially recently. So number one, we have the most unpopular mayor in Chicago history. So right now, Brandon Johnson's polling numbers are drastically low, and that presents real opportunity for Chicagoans to voice their frustrations. And across the board, across party lines, crime and public safety are by far and away the number one issue that people have voiced real concern over. So there's plenty of broad support there, kind of uniting against Brandon Johnson, I would say. But the second is we've seen record numbers of people interested in running for traditionally uncontested races in the Chicago area and all throughout the state. So giving voters a real choice and actually presenting two different options is becoming more and more common. We saw it last election cycle. This upcoming election cycle, we're going to see more candidates running and challenging seats that have traditionally been uncompetitive. And that built takes time to build, you know, a campaign and some groundswell there to make a previously uncompetitive district competitive again. But that's starting to happen. We're seeing it, starting to see that become more and more popular. And the last is there is some real talk about pension reform and what that would mean for property taxes. Just last week, Barrington Township, a suburb of Cook County, passed a referendum that they're going to actually put it on the November ballot and ask their residents, their 16,000 residents within the township, they're going to get a voice and say, do you support this constitutional pension reform that would allow for property taxes or for your local tax dollars to go towards investments that you care about in your community? So voters are going to get a choice this upcoming election. And we're having those conversations with other townships around the state and Chicago and throughout Cook County and the Chicago land area. So I think that there are some real bright spots and some things to be positive about moving forward here.
Bryce Hill speaking with us right now with Illinois Policy Institute. Last question before we let you go. While the country has their eyes fixed on Chicago, you could probably tune into any one of your particular favorite news outlets and you're going to get a version of what is going on there. In sum total, what do you want people to know about the city of Chicago and Illinois in its current state of affairs right now?
Yeah, I would say that the current city of Chicago, the picture that you're going to see, or if you're in town especially, is, you know, we should be taking note of where the Democratic Party is choosing to have their convention and what the results of those policies have been. Whether you look at the state level for Governor Pritzker, we have a recent piece out detailing every single economic variable and education variable and how those metrics have fallen. We document the city of Chicago and its population decline and its unemployment woes. And both of these things really culminate in residents voting with their feet. When people are choosing to move out and you're losing population, and that's solely because more people are leaving than are coming in, that should be a really key, bright, flashing sign for the people who are tuning in about where these policies lead and the kinds of environments they create. So if I could say one thing, it would be to pay attention to how people are choosing to vote with their feet more than anything else.
Yeah, it's such an important thing for people to understand. And I know the Illinois Policy Institute's always working hard on putting the numbers to back up those thoughts and opinions. Bryce, thank you for being with us today. It's good to speak with you again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much. Bryce Hill of the Illinois Policy Institute. You can find him online at illinoispolicy.org and learn more about the research that they put behind these particular statements and really get a good picture of the direction that Illinois is headed. And they always have good ideas behind solutions to the problems that maybe you and I identify as equal problems. Not everybody else does, of course. All right, let's take a quick break. Get Ryan back in studio with us. You have been listening so far to, in the 12 o'clock hour, Brandon Strzok was with us. He is the Walkaway campaign founder. Had a great conversation with him about 1225, hearing about his initial step into the Walkaway movement when he left the Democrat Party. And then, of course, his experience as somebody who was there on January 6th, but not in the Capitol on January 6th. He told us the whole story at 1225, and you can check that on the Annie Fry Show podcasts, on the Odyssey app. You can check them there as well. You can always stream along with us and vote today's YouTube live chat poll. When will you vote in this November election? Will you vote early? Will you vote on Election Day, or are you not voting at all? Annie Fry YouTube channel, come vote. We'll be right back. Is it Maren Morris and Zedd?
Maren Morris and Zedd.
Ryan just arbitrarily was like, my life wouldn't have been much different if it weren't for Miley Cyrus or something like that.
If Miley Cyrus had never been in it.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, but this isn't Miley Cyrus.
Well, I stand by my statement.
I know. You didn't retract anything.
It's just throwing shade at her for the sake of throwing shade at her.
I mean, for my entire life that song has existed, I thought that was Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, I could tell. Also, I bet she's crushed.
Nah, she's crushing on her wrecking ball.
That's not her either.
Oh, no. Yes, it is.
Gotcha.
You had me for a second,
yeah,
though.
I know.
Like, no, I've seen her on the wrecking ball.
That's like how seconds. You knew. That's how you knew.
That is how I knew.
You have seen that video.
Yes, I have.
How come?
It was popular, and I'm in the news.
You're popular?
No, I'm not in the news. I'm in the news industry, and therefore I had to report on that story.
You don't don't have to report on that story.
I did. No, I was like, didn't. Oh gosh, here we go.
No,
gotta report
didn't.
On this gross
There's
music video.
No professional obligation whatsoever for you. Like, sorry, honey, I'll be right there. I'm doing work. I'm doing the work.
Yeah, that's what I gotta do.
It's the same thing Kamala Harris does.
Where were you working whenever that video dropped?
I don't want to know.
I think probably here.
Can we not?
Not sure.
Can we not?
Oh, great. I gotta watch the new Nicki Minaj video. She's in a bath. That was here. That was last week.
I got nothing. So you boys finish this up and then let me know when I can get back on my own show.
Brad, can I just text you whenever I am a little weirded out by something I do feel like I need to report on, but that I maybe shouldn't be looking at as a Christian?
Why don't you just do... What?
You are supposed to text me anytime you're going to report on something so that I can give you the okay. Or tell you, no, that's too weird.
Yeah, that's actually why Brad got the job. We had to hire a pastor.
Yep.
YouTube live chat poll on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We are, I was just looking here, 5 subscribers away from 8,400 subscribers. So thank you to everybody who has come and signed up to be a part of the Annie Fry Show family on YouTube. Our poll for today is, when will you vote? Early election day or not voting? This isn't like some statement. It's just a fact, but maybe it is a statement.
It always has been a statement. Well, in the last couple of years, it has. I have never, ever voted early in my life.
That was going to be my first question. Have either of you ever voted early?
Yes.
I have too.
I've tried, but the line was so long I went away and I came back on election day.
But you came back.
I did come back. But this year, I'll tell you why I'm going to vote early. I'm going to try to anyway, as long as the line allows it. It's because when we were doing a remote appearance and one of the appearances we've done this year, we were talking to the head of St. Clair or Madison County's GOP party.
And Michael Butler?
I don't remember. I just remember.
Ray Wesley?
Yep. It was them. It was one of them.
Wonderful people. You should get to know them.
And we were interviewing one of them, and they were talking about, and maybe they both said this because it's true no matter where you are, they spend so much less money on you when you vote early.
Yeah. They don't have to go get your vote. They don't have to make sure that you show up.
They don't keep having to send you stuff in the mail to make sure that you're going to show up. Because if you're a reliable Republican voter, they want to make sure that you're there.
Bank that vote.
So they're spending mailer money on you all the time. If you vote early, they can save that money and go after somebody who may not actually show up to vote. And I know I will. So I'm going to try to vote early.
I want to, once voting opens in Illinois, I want to, like, meet people somewhere and walk with them to the polls.
That's awesome. Let's do that.
And then if you want to bring people to come hang out and go with us, then I mean, I'm a Republican in Illinois, so I don't think I can vote every time, but I think that we should do that in Madison County, St. Clair County, or whatever counties are listening that want to have us come out. I don't know how much early voting you can do like that in Missouri. You can vote early, you can vote absentee, but it's not like Illinois, where it's like 40 days out, it's the same as election day. So I think I want to do it. I think I said this in the midterms and it just didn't happen. But we should do it.
It's a great idea, and it's something that we, you know, so many elections, at the top, there's big margins. When you get down to the lower elections, it's not that many people that decide these things.
Yeah, and things happen, and you just don't end up going there. You intended to. You meant well. Didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested in that, let me know. When will you vote? You're intending to vote early.
As early as I can. I don't know when early voting starts in
40 days out from...
40 days and 40 nights?
I don't think they exclude the nights or count them twice.
Then I'll try to within the first week.
I think we should. We don't vote in the same places, so we would have to go to different.
Yeah.
But I think if it's countywide, like Madison County, when I voted early, I went to the county seat, which is in Edwardsville on Main Street, and you just go into the county building and you do your thing.
Yeah, with early voting, it matters a lot more about the county that you live in than the precinct you vote on the day. So we might be able to do that.
When I went in to early vote with my husband, the Madison County, this ended up being a thing. I'm pretty sure I talked about this on the air. But I'll talk about it now. We go into early vote. We were going to be out of town for something. And my husband and I are the only people anywhere in the area other than the two, I guess they're poll watchers or whatever, and there's a Republican and there's a Democrat. And my husband and I have discussed going in, you know, he asked me some questions about stuff. I told him, like, you know, I think at the time it was a primary. It was a primary because it was just Republicans. We pulled a Republican ballot. And I had my people who I wanted to vote for on my phone. And so I had my phone out and my husband standing next to me at the ballot thing next to me turns and asks me a question. I had my phone in my hand and this woman chastised me. You can't use phones. And I'm like, I can't use my phone to vote. And she goes, you're not supposed to. I go, can I or can't I? Is there a law against this? And she's like, well, you're not supposed to. We don't want you talking to each other and you can't use your phone. And I said, so I'm not allowed to use my phone. She's like, we really would prefer you not to. And I'm like, with all due respect, am I allowed to or not? And she's like, well, you're allowed to, but we really, and she just kind of kept repeating herself. So I continued to use my phone because that's where I had all my stuff written that I wanted to vote on. And then after the fact, she didn't want me talking to my husband. And she said it was electioneering for me to have a conversation with my husband, speaking out loud in a polling place about who people should vote for. Now, if the room was full of people and I'm like, it's really important that you vote for Joe Smith in Ward 2, blah, blah, blah. Right. I don't really know what the specific rules are about it, but I was whispering to my husband, the man who I sleep with, and he was asking me questions about things that we had just talked about before. I think it was maybe on like some sort of resolution, which, and they were like, and I'm like, I'm looking around me like, who are we talking to here? Like, what kind of danger is happening? Like, listen, I talked to him in the privacy of our own homes. You should meet the people who I talk to every day. but she was real particular about it. And then when I left, the person above her came out to talk to me about it and was like, I don't know if she, I have no idea if they like knew that I have a show or anything like that. But it turns out, A, you can use your phone. B, I can have a private conversation with my husband. And they were just incredibly aggressively pushy about it. And the only thing that I could think about, and I can't prove this to be true, but I went in as a primary voter and pulled a Republican primary thing. And sure enough, the person who I identified, know this to be true, that was all up in my stuff was the Democrat poll watcher. And I was just thinking, like, it's a Republican primary ballot. I'm going to vote for all the Republicans here. Like, what do you... I just didn't understand it all. It was hostile. It was aggressive. It made me uncomfortable. I was thinking about, you know, the 80-year-old grandma who shows up with her piece of paper. Or maybe she sat... Grandma sat down... I say 80. 90. That's like a lot of... If we're going to elect an 80-year-old to be the president, I hope. I was thinking about the grandma who has, you know, her piece of paper or something like that, or maybe a text message that she pulls up and has what she talked about with her child or son, daughter, whatever. And I just thought, wow, this is just not the experience you're supposed to have. And if you are in a situation where you vote early and have that experience, you can kind of do something about it. You can talk about it. You can address it in a way where if you go on election day and the lines are long and people are doing those types of things, you just are kind of trying to get in and get out and you take what comes at you. And also, be a poll watcher if you can, please, because the other side is doing it.
Man, you know what's cool is the last 4 years-ish, I have seen more poll watchers in Illinois in my precincts where I vote than I've ever seen before. And I can tell exactly why they're there, because they're wearing hats with eagles and flags all over them, and I'm like, yeah, all right, thanks for being here, man. And some of them actually listen too.
You
so
do
that's
not
cool.
Have to be a poll watcher in the area that you vote. You could go to Peoria and watch the polls there. You could go to East St. Louis and watch the polls there. You can go to anywhere, but you need to get in contact with your county Republicans to figure out where's the best place. But we need all hands on deck. I mean, honestly, I tweeted out, like, I don't think that people like Kamala Harris as a basic statement, I don't think she's likable. I don't think that she can win on her own. You got to show up and watch the polls. You have to be there. You have to be participating in this so that you can have confidence that it went the way it was supposed to go. And what I mean by that is however the votes dictate, whatever the votes dictate, one vote, one person, that's the way it needs to come down to. And then whatever happens, happens. There's no way that after this election that the side that loses, either side is going to believe it. It's just not going to happen. Either side has believed that they fairly lost, honestly, for as long as I can remember. Maybe McCain did because he got trounced. But people do not have confidence in it. So you have to participate in the system.
If you want to join and be a poll watcher, definitely consider East St. Louis.
Yes.
That would be a great place to add more people who want to see free and fair elections.
Go to St. Clair County and talk to the St. Clair County Republicans about how you can help. I have every intention of going to Wisconsin. I think I'm going the first weekend of October, and I'm going to try to chase ballots there. I've talked a little bit with some of the county Republican folks. It's a tricky thing to take time away from trying to get the word out for local elections with that. But if you have an interest in that, I signed up through TP Action, Turning Point Action. You can check that stuff out as well. It's called Chase the Vote. I'm going. Let's take a quick break. I cannot wait to talk to you about Queer Fat Club when we come back. Ryan, this one I pulled for you. Thought you'd be interested in this topic. You ready? Get yourself together. Is it Maren Morris and Zed?
Maren Morris and Zed.
Ryan just arbitrarily was like, my life wouldn't have been much different if it weren't for Miley Cyrus or something like that.
If Miley Cyrus had never been in it.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, but this isn't Miley Cyrus.
Well, I stand by my statement.
I know.
Though.
You didn't retract anything.
It's just throwing shade at her for the sake of throwing shade at her.
I mean, for my entire life that song has existed, I thought that was Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, I could tell. Also, I bet she's crushed.
Nah, she's crushing on her wrecking ball.
That's not her either.
Oh, no. Yes, it is.
Gotcha.
You had me for a second, though. I've seen her on the wrecking ball.
That's how you knew.
That is how I knew.
You have seen that video.
Yes, I have.
How come?
It was popular, and I'm in the news.
You're popular?
No, I'm not in the news. I'm in the news industry. And therefore, I had to report on that story.
You don't have to report on that story.
I did.
No,
I was like,
didn't.
Oh, gosh, here we go.
No,
got to report
didn't.
On this gross
There's
music video.
No professional obligation whatsoever for you. Like, sorry, honey, I'll be right there. I'm doing work. I'm doing the work.
Yeah, that's what I got to do.
It's the same thing Kamala Harris does.
Where were you working whenever that video dropped?
I don't want to know.
I think probably here.
Can we not?
Not sure.
Can we not?
Oh, great. I got to watch the new Nicki Minaj video. She's in a bath. Ugh. That was here. That was last week.
I got nothing. So you boys finish this up and then let me know when I can get back on my own show.
Brad, can I just text you whenever I am a little weirded out by something I do feel like I need to report on, but that I maybe shouldn't be looking at as a Christian?
Why don't you just do... What?
You are supposed to text me anytime you're going to report on something so that I can give you the okay or tell you no, that's too weird.
Yeah, ooh. That's actually why Brad got the job. We had to hire a pastor.
Yep.
YouTube live chat poll on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We are, I was just looking here, 5 subscribers away from 8,400 subscribers. So thank you to everybody who has come and signed up to be a part of the Annie Fry Show family on YouTube. Our poll for today is, when will you vote? Early election day or not voting? This isn't like some statement. It's just a fact, but maybe it is a statement.
It always has been a statement. Well, in the last couple of years, it has. I have never, ever voted early in my life.
That was going to be my first question. Have either of you ever voted early?
Yes.
I have too.
I've tried, but the line was so long I went away and I came back on election day.
But you came back.
I did come back. But this year, I'll tell you why I'm going to vote early. I'm going to try to anyway, as long as the line allows it. It's because when we were doing a remote appearance, and we were one of the appearances we've done this year, we were talking to the head of St. Clair or Madison County's GOP party.
And Michael Butler?
I don't remember. I just remember.
Ray Wesley?
Yep, it was that them. It was one of them.
Wonderful people. You should get to know them.
And we were interviewing one of them, and they were talking about, and maybe they both said this because it's true no matter where you are, they spend so much less money on you when you vote early.
Yeah. They don't have to go get your vote. They don't have to make sure that you show up.
They don't keep having to send you stuff in the mail to make sure that you're going to show up. Because if you're a reliable Republican voter, they want to make sure that you're there.
Bank that vote.
So they're spending mailer money on you all the time. If you vote early, they can save that money and go after somebody who may not actually show up to vote. And I know I will, so I'm going to try to vote early.
I want to, once voting opens in Illinois, I want to like meet people somewhere and walk with them to the polls.
That's awesome. Let's do that.
And then if you want to bring people to come hang out and go with us, then, I mean, I'm a Republican in Illinois, so I don't think I can vote every time. But I think that we should do that in Madison County, St. Clair County, or whatever counties are listening that want to have us come out. I don't know how much early voting you can do like that in Missouri. You can vote early, you can vote absentee, but it's not like Illinois, where it's like 40 days out, it's the same as Election Day. So I think I want to do it. I think I said this in the midterms and it just didn't happen. But we should do it.
It's a great idea, and it's something that we, you know, so many elections, at the top, there's big margins. When you get down to the lower elections, it's not that many people that decide these things.
Yeah, and things happen, and you just don't end up going there. You intended to. You meant well. Didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested in that, let me know. When will you vote? You're intending to vote early.
As early as I can. I don't know when early voting starts in
40
Illinois.
Days out from...
40 days and 40 nights?
I don't think they exclude the nights or count them twice.
Then I'll try to within the first week.
I think we should. We don't vote in the same places, so we would have to go to different.
Yeah.
But I think if it's countywide, like Madison County, when I voted early, I went to the county seat, which is in Edwardsville on Main Street, and you just go into the county building and you do your thing.
Yeah, with early voting, it matters a lot more about the county that you live in than the precinct you vote on the day. So we might be able to do that.
When I went in to early vote with my husband to Madison County, this ended up being a thing. I'm pretty sure I talked about this on the air, but I'll talk about it now. We go into early vote. We were going to be out of town for something. And my husband and I are the only people anywhere in the area other than the two, I guess they're poll watchers or whatever, and there's a Republican and there's a Democrat. And my husband and I have discussed going in. You know, he asked me some questions about stuff. I told him, like, you know, I think at the time it was a primary. It was a primary because it was just Republicans. We pulled a Republican ballot. And I had my people who I wanted to vote for on my phone. And so I had my phone out and my husband standing next to me at the ballot thing next to me turns and asks me a question. I had my phone in my hand. And this woman chastised me. You can't use phones. And I'm like, I can't use my phone to vote. And she goes, you're not supposed to. I go, can I or can't I? Is there a law against this? And she's like, well, you're not supposed to. We don't want you talking to each other and you can't use your phone. And I said, so I'm not allowed to use my phone? She's like, we really would prefer you not to. And I'm like, with all due respect, am I allowed to or not? And she's like, well, you're allowed to, but we really, and she just kind of kept repeating herself. So I continued to use my phone because that's where I had all my stuff written that I wanted to vote on. And then after the fact, she didn't want me talking to my husband. And she said it was electioneering for me to have a conversation with my husband, speaking out loud in a polling place about who people should vote for. Now, if the room was full of people, and I'm like, it's really important that you vote for Joe Smith in Ward 2, blah, blah, blah. Right. I don't really know what the specific rules are about it, but I was whispering to my husband, the man who I sleep with, and he was asking me questions about things that we had just talked about before. I think it was maybe on like some sort of resolution, which, and they were like, and like, I'm looking around me like, who are we talking to here? Like, what kind of danger is happening? Like, do you know? Listen, I talked to him in the privacy of our own homes. You should meet the people who I talk to every day. But she was real particular about it. And then when I left, the person above her came out to talk to me about it and was like, I don't know if she, I have no idea if they like knew that I have a show or anything like that. But it turns out, A, you can use your phone. B, I can have a private conversation with my husband. And they were just incredibly aggressively pushy about it. And the only thing that I could think about, and I can't prove this to be true, but I went in as a primary voter and pulled a Republican primary thing. And sure enough, the person who I identified, know this to be true, that was all up in my stuff was the Democrat poll watcher. And I was just thinking, like, it's a Republican primary ballot. I'm going to vote for all the Republicans here. Like, what do you... I just didn't understand it all. It was hostile. It was aggressive. It made me uncomfortable. I was thinking about, you know, the 80-year-old grandma who shows up with her piece of paper. Or maybe she sat... Grandma sat down... I say 80. 90. That's like a lot of... If we're going to elect an 80-year-old to be the president, I hope. I was thinking about the grandma who has, you know, her piece of paper or something like that, or maybe a text message that she pulls up and has what she talked about with her child or son, daughter, whatever. And I just thought, wow, this is just not the experience you're supposed to have. And if you are in a situation where you vote early and have that experience, you can kind of do something about it. You can talk about it. You can address it in a way where if you go on election day and the lines are long and people are doing those types of things, you just are kind of trying to get in and get out and you take what comes at you. It's... And also, be a poll watcher if you can, please, because the other side is doing it.
Man, you know what's cool is the last 4 years-ish, I have seen more poll watchers in Illinois, in my precincts where I vote, than I've ever seen before. And I can tell exactly why they're there, because they're wearing hats with eagles and flags all over them, and I'm like, yeah, all right, thanks for being here, man. And some of them actually listen too.
You so do not cool. have to be a poll watcher in the area that you vote. No. You could go to Peoria and watch the polls there. You could go to East St. Louis and watch the polls there. You can go to anywhere, but you need to get in contact with your county Republicans to figure out where's the best place. But we need all hands on deck. I mean, honestly, I tweeted out, like, I don't think that people like Kamala Harris. As a basic statement, I don't think she's likable. I don't think that she can win on her own. You got to show up and watch the polls. You have to be there. You have to be participating in this so that you can have confidence that it went the way it was supposed to go. And what I mean by that is however the votes dictate, whatever the votes dictate, one vote, one person, that's the way it needs to come down to. And then whatever happens, happens. There's no way that after this election that the side that loses, either side is going to believe it. It's just not going to happen. Either side has believed that they fairly lost, honestly, for as long as I can remember. Maybe McCain did because he got trounced. But people do not have confidence in it. So you have to participate in the system.
If you want to join and be a poll watcher, definitely consider East St. Louis.
Yes.
That would be a great place to add more people who want to see free and fair elections.
Go to St. Clair County and talk to the St. Clair County Republicans about how you can help. I have every intention of going to Wisconsin. I think I'm going the first weekend of October, and I'm going to try to chase ballots there. I've talked a little bit with some of the county Republican folks. It's a tricky thing to take time away from trying to get the word out for local elections with that. But if you have an interest in that, I signed up through TP Action, Turning Point Action. You can check that stuff out as well. It's called Chase the Vote. I'm going. Let's take a quick break. I cannot wait to talk to you about Queer Fat Club when we come back. Ryan, this one I pulled for you. Thought you'd be interested in this topic. You ready? Get yourself together.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.